好，咁咧今晚咧我哋讨论嘅问题咧系一百万零一夜嘅启示。大家如果有留意我哋嗰个香港出路网上电台嘅节目啦，其实咧呢、這个题目咧喺我哋个预告嗰度咧系挤咗都好耐噶。咁因为咧，即系我哋当时啦，即系睇到出戏啦，有感而发啦。其实佢入边有好多嘢我哋可以即系讨论嘅。咁我哋就大家话，诶、欸，原来边个未睇嘅？我几位主持人啊，李永康啊，金永贤啊，咁如果大家未睇出戏咧，就大家先去睇睇先啦。咁即系因为我哋都想睇咗之后咧，就大家喺即系谂下啦吓，呢出戏我哋俾我哋嘅有啲咩嘅启示咧？咁当然啦，如果你哋有机会咧，系去一般嘅网上啊，或者有关呢出戏嘅网上咧，咁都有好多不同嘅留言嘅，啊，亦都有啲不同嘅讲法啦。咁好多咧系讲由呢出戏咧系反映香港嘅电影界个发展啊，因为始终咧香港电影咧。曾几何时咧，香港电影系差唔多世界有名嘅，同埋咧每年咧系亦都生产好多好多出电影嘅。咁但系亦都知道啦，喺印度啦，印度有叫做 Bollywood 吓，咁即系佢哋好似荷里活嗰度咁样，佢亦都系每年咧系都拍好多出戏嘅，好可能都我数字我唔系好记得啦，好似200几出、2000几出咁戏嘅。咁但係當然啦，即係最多香港人最熟悉嘅咧，就係荷里活嗰啲戲啦。咁嗱，咁呢一出戲咧，喺奧斯卡嗰度咧係攞咗成8个獎嘅。咁喺好多人都喺度諗啦，即係點解呢出戲會攞獎咧？咁當然呢出戲本身係一個好戲嚟嘅，係有一個好特別嘅故事啦。咁呢出戲嗰個故事咧，都係原來係一位。印度嘅好似外交官咁喺佢寫嘅，寫咗呢個小說嘅，咁由呢個小說咧就拍為呢出戲咁。咁但當然啦，亦都睇到啦，即係呢出戲亦都反映荷里活咧對即係頒獎嗰個準則咧，其實咧都係可以咁講咧，係有佢嘅獨特嘅之處啦。咁有啲人話，哦，呢出戲點解會得獎咧？除咗出戲本身係拍得非常之好，個故事題材亦都係好突出嘅，咁但仲有一樣嘢咧，佢亦都可以話咧，係可能咧，會唔會咧，係荷里活咧，係趁呢個機會咧，係即係探討一下，即係而家呢個地球上嗰個貧富呢個嘅問題嘅咁。咁當然咧，出戲咧睇咗出咗冇幾耐啦，咁亦都好多嘅唔同嘅反應啦。咁包括咧喺印度咧，即亦都有啲人咧認為咧呢出戲咧。就係即係幾侮辱印度嚇，即係你睇，如果大家有機會睇到咧，佢入邊印度好多啲即係黑暗啊嗰啲嘢啦，警察嘅腐敗啊，個宗教嘅糾紛啊，咁其實好多好多呢方面咧，係即係唔係咁光彩嘅嘢嘅。
佢初初得咗獎咧，印度政府都唔係好高興嘅喎。
哦，當時有咁嘅反應。
係啊，
係咩？係咩？哦，
係啊。
咁原因係咩咧？當時印度政府
唔係即係好似覺得揭露佢哋啲黑暗嗰啲咯，覺得即係你哋啲人嚟拍戲拍埋我哋呢啲陰暗面，
污糟係即係啲
即係詆毀佢哋國家咁樣咯。你唔拍我啲好嗰啲咁樣咯，係啊，即係應該咁樣講，即係未得獎之前
係
咁成日話呢套戲啊好睇啊出邊啊啲
哦嗰時未得獎哦
係未得獎嘅，啊得咗獎啊唔係喎，得咗獎啊係啊係啊好啊好啊
係嘛
係啊。
咁樣即係拍過咗，即係一個始終個故事題材咧，至於大家我相信香港好多人睇過嘅，咁睇咗出呢出戲咧，都了解啦，即係點解有呢啲咁樣嘅反應嘅。咁當然啦，咁有啲人會講法咧，即係佢故事所講嘅嘢咧，會唔會誇張啲咧？即係而家嘅印度嘅即係呢個貧窮呢個問題咧，到底個真正嘅情況係點樣咧？咁即係大家有啲即係都會諗下，因為始終荷里活啊嘛。荷里活嘅片係有時候係然後好戲將個事情戲劇化嘅，可能未必係真正嘅情況係咁嘅。咁咧，我又最近咧，我認識一位朋友啦。咁佢係一位澳洲人嚟嘅。咁佢自己本身咧係一位工程師啦，建築師啦咁。咁但係咧，佢亦都係咧係從事咧嗰個攝影嗰方面嘅工作啦，製作電影啊，好多啲所謂 documentary 呢方面啦咁。咁佢咧就原來咧佢。曾經咧都係邀請，因應香港嘅一間機構嘅邀請咧，就係、是、去印度去拍攝嚇，即係各方面嘅貧窮嘅情況嘅。咁其實當時咧呢、這個機構咧係希望咧 佢係幫佢去嗰邊咧拍一啲片段啦，作為宣傳啦，作為將來咧就係籌款嘅咁。咁呢位朋友咧係Sue Royal 嚇，咁Sue咧好開即係好高興啦，係今晚咧佢可以嚟我呢度嘅。Welcome Sue, you know, I just briefly introduced your background, and then the feedback people have about this Slumdog Millionaire movie, and of course, you know, and from some Indian perspective, you know, they're really not happy having their dirty laundry, you know, about mm-hmm. you know the poverty situation in India being portrayed, you know, and of course the movie becomes so popular and won 8 Academy Award.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand that you have, you know, you actually have been there and doing some documentary for a fundraising organization in Hong Kong, not long ago, right?
A little while ago, actually. It was in the 90s, and I went there over a four-year period.
Four-year period?
Yeah, I visited a home there called Future Hope, and they housed street kids, ex-street kids, and they fed them and educated them, and it was quite well organized. They had over 100 boys and about 3 or 4 girls. Not many girls were staying there. And at that time I made a documentary to help record and sort of help them with some fundraising, actually. Mm. So in the documentary I made, we interviewed a lot of the children to find out what their stories were and how come they ended up on the streets. So I was in Calcutta,
uh-huh.
which isn't where the film Slumdog Millionaire is set, but it's...
Sometimes it's in Bombay.
That's right, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Mumbai. But
Mumbai, yeah.
Calcutta's very similar, I think, and it's very poor.
Yeah.
And there's a station there, the main station called Hara Station. So a lot of these children lived there before they came to Future Hope. And they have a mixed bag of stories as to why they were living on the station or on the street. Some of them got lost from their parents. Uh-huh. They were on a train or in the market and they lost their parents and they end up at the station. So that's a pretty sad story. Some of them didn't like their home life. They were beaten and not well cared for and they ran away and they'd end up sort of down there. There's a market near the station too, so they can kind of get food. And yeah, so a lot of them ran away and they didn't have good home lives. Some of them don't even know, can't remember their family or how they ended up on the station. They're quite young, a lot of them, about 6 or 7 when they move to Future Hope. And it's not a nice place to be living. There's a lot of abuse by adults who live there. You've got to imagine a train station not like the West. This is a station where people are sleeping everywhere on the floor at night.
Mm.
Families, children, you know, adults. It's not a very savoury place. One of the children said he slept on platform 7 because the police never went there.
Mm.
And so that was his spot. It was safe. Because the police used to come around. I heard this from a number of kids and they beat the kids.
Mm.
So they didn't have a good relationship with the police. The children, and doesn't sort of say too much for the police either, how they treat them. And there weren't many girls, and the story I heard from the boys is that they get taken away by the police.
Mm.
So you can only speculate what's happening to them. I mean, the boys thought that they went to some girls' jail.
Yes.
And later, when they're older, they're released in their 20s. But, you know, you don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
The girls couldn't run away from the police as fast as the boys. So their situation's not very good. When they come off the street, they have a lot of health problems. You know, worms, sort of diseases and
mm-hmm.
venereal diseases. They're all usually sexually abused down on the stations. And they also have a lot of psychological wounds that takes a long time for them to open up about. But also, I mean, that sounds very grim, and it is, they have a lot of fun at the station. because there's no parents, there's no one telling them anything what to do. They have total freedom. And if they want to go swimming, they just jump in the river. If they want to go fishing, they do that. If they want to travel, they jump on a train. They're really free. So some of these children who first arrive at this children's home, they run away from the home and go back to the station.
Oh.
One boy who was about 15, I met him when he was about 10, but he was then about 15 the last when I did the interview, he said he ran away 12 times from Future Hope back to the station.
Oh.
And but now he's very settled. And he said it's because, you know, it's a lot of fun as well at the station. And they're kind of wild in that sense, you know, living that kind of life amongst all these people. So it takes a while for some of them to settle down into a routine where they have to do their own laundry and they have to fit in to a schedule and they do schoolwork and things. So that gives you a little bit of a background of those kids. I did hear, you know, thinking of the movie, because the movie's got some nasty parts in it.
Right.
One child did tell me he saw a child killed by some thieves.
Uh-huh.
He did see that happen. And many of the children were, the person who founded this organization's Tim Grandage. He's British and he used to work for the Hong Kong Shanghai Bank in Hong Kong, and then he was relocated to Calcutta. So he started meeting these children. Anyway, he would go down to the station and bring some of them back to the home every now and then, and they were very worried that he would sell them. This is what their fear was. They didn't know what would happen when they got in his car, what would happen to them.
Oh, you mean the kids?
Yes.
That he tried to rescue?
Yeah.
Oh.
And they'd heard there was this Tim uncle who would come, and they'd heard from their friends who had been at Future Hope and come back to the station, because they're allowed to go out of Future Hope.
Right.
You know, it's fine and we're happy and all this, but they're very afraid. Like in the movie, they get taken away and these are nice people.
Hmm.
They're not. So there must be things that happen, you know. The main theme was they were worried about being sold. They would sell me. So I don't know what that looks like in India, but maybe something like that goes on. But so then they're very relieved when they find they get there and there's 100 boys there and they get fed and dewormed and new clothes, and they sort of start a new life.
So, I mean, you said this Future Hope home, they managed to take care of about 100-some children.
That's right.
But the problem is probably in the hundreds and thousands, right?
Oh, yes. It's far greater. And, in fact, I talked to the people who manage the place about that, and they had to make a decision, because they said the number of kids they have in the home just depends on how often they go to the station. You know, if they go every night, they'll bring kids home every night. So now they don't go so often. And they had to decide, are they going to work on quantity or quality? And were they purely just going to feed some kids, or were they going to try and give them a better life and an education? So their groups opted for a number they can manage and educate. And they have about 4 homes they live in with Indian house parents who act like parents. And so they have a sort of family atmosphere. Mind you, it's a big group. One of the houses has about 40 or 50 kids, and they get buses to this race course they go to and play football and rugby. They have activities every day to keep the kids happy and occupied. So the problem's vast. They're just sort of impacting it a little. But as they looked at it, they talked about hopefully having a ripple effect. They felt that if they really helped some kids well and got them educated, that at some point they would be able to support their families, and then also maybe be, they always had sort of a soft spot for street children, these kids, because this is where they've come from, and they feel at some point as they're adult, when they become adults, that they will give back somehow, and the pool gets bigger of people sort of helping.
Now you said that they started that in the 90s.
Yes, yes. It might have even been in the 80s when it started. Uh-huh. But when I sort of came across it, I was a freelance photographer at the time here mm-hmm. in Hong Kong, and I was asked to photograph Tim, the founder, for an American Express story they were doing on this man who was a bank manager and then ended up leaving the bank and setting up this home. And I met him through that, and he invited me and the journalist mm-hmm. to visit the children. And I said, yes, you know, I'd mm-hmm. like to. And the journalist said, yes, it was so inspiring, this mm-hmm. story. And then I just thought, if I don't do this now, it'll probably be one of those things I said I'd do and never did.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually organized within a few weeks a trip that would take place 2 months later, but I booked my ticket. And then I went there, and it was very inspiring. That's why I went back a number of years, meeting these children. Even though they're from the streets, kind of the low end of life in India,
mm-hmm.
there's something very special about them. And their school teacher, principal, said that they are, humanists, she calls it. I guess she means humanitarian. Mm. They have a deep sense of love for other people and other children. And they're very generous and loving. It's just amazing. And yet they have nothing. And they're so grateful for the food they're eating, for the education, for the teachers, that someone would be willing to teach them.
Mm.
It's very different from our upbringings, where we just that's taken for granted. We don't really have that sense of gratitude, and they're very grateful. So even talking to them, they're grateful you're spending your time with them.
Mm.
Mm.
Ah, Doctor,
right.
我即係上個星期咧新聞咧，咁就我睇到段新聞咧，佢話印度國會啊，佢嗰個女議長咧係第一個咧由戰民階級咧，即係佢哋，即係我初初都唔了解嘅。
係係。
咁咧由戰民階級晉升到去做到個女議長，即係第一個國會議長啊。咁係印度歷史第一個。
係。
咁即係咁，佢原來都分幾級嘅喎。
嗯，
即係我就想問一下蘇咧，即係佢哋係咪因為個宗教咪？我嗰日我睇完新聞，佢有即係嗰啲即係好，佢哋分等級啊。
係啊，係階級嗰、那個。
咁但係佢話又話冇嘅喎，佢話依家其實係冇嘅喎，但係事實係有嘅。咁點解咧？因為當時佢有啲歷史背景，佢話當時甘地咧
係。
即係獨立咗，即係印度爭取咗印度獨立，就廢除咗呢啲咁嘅階級。
係喺嗰段時候廢除咗。
廢除咗，但係咧嗰個模型嗰個階級咧就喺度嘅，即係嗰啲名啊、姓氏咧，同埋佢哋嗰個宗教咧，佢話即係個宗教咧係將呢啲人分等級嘅喎。咁如果咁樣嘅話，咁咪好難解決。
嗯，
即係我想問阿蘇呢啲點睇咧？
嗱 ，I mean。What we really, you know, are interested in is not really just a movie, you know, it's being a good movie. But we really want to know the poverty situation, you know, not only in India, but actually in many, many other countries in the world. Of course, you know, if we were to try to understand why India was stuck in such a, you know, a dire, poor situation, and we can think of many reasons. Even in the movie, there is a religious kind of rivalry, you know, among the Muslims and the Hindus, and probably the Christians too. And also, India has a entrenched caste system. But supposedly, after Gandhi's liberate India from the British Empire, and that was abolished. Right, supposedly the caste system was abolished, but of course in actuality it's still more or less being practiced. Is that your observation? I mean, you've been there, you know, in and out for a number of years now, right?
Yeah, I can't say it was obvious. I mean, the caste system must be there, but I'm not there seeing, oh, this is that caste caste.
Yeah.
But in reality, you know, prejudices don't sort of die quickly in a culture. If you have a prejudice against a certain religion or race, it's passed to your children and it's sort of in you from a young age. It just doesn't go out because there's some law that says something against it.
Yes.
So the caste, the children are really the low caste, and I do know they're very conscious of that label on them, that it may mar them. I think some of them didn't really want people to know they were street kids. Some of them were in some good schools. They had their own school, Future Hope School, but some of the boys went to some private, I don't think very expensive, but better schools. And they were very conscious of their background, because the other boys who went there had normal families, and the Future Hope kids didn't. And I think the caste system is still there. You know, if you're from a lower caste, you don't have the job opportunities and people probably look down at you. Mm-hmm. And so that's a problem, I think, in India. Yeah.
Because I remember in the early 70s when I was, studying in the United States, I met some Indian graduate student. And then I remember he was showing me this string he was wearing. Mm. And he said he belonged to the priest cult, priest caste.
Oh, the Brahmin, is it?
The Brahmin, And then, so obviously, at least in those days, they're still very conscious and aware, that's what they try to preserve.
Some question， 即係點解？即係佢哋好似好認命咁樣嘅喎，又係咪因為個宗教問題咧？
咁如果
佢因為呢啲字文係，即係我上次睇見個新聞，佢又略提到話係，即係佢呢啲係屬於宗教嚟到將佢分噶嘛？即係佢哋覺得生出嚟，即係可能係類似要贖罪啊咁樣，所以佢哋即係覺得係冇得翻身係應該咁樣，係咪咧？
我哋一陣間會即係深入啲討論啦，即係點解即係印度咧？那個處境係咁樣，即係咁耐啦，原來嗰個情況都係咁。或者我先再睇下，即係嗰個 Future Hope 呢啲收容所啦咁。So the Future Hope basically started by this ex Hong Kong Bank executive team, but more or less is still operated by with the help of local people.
Oh yes,
right.
Yeah.
Social,
some of them are sort of social workers as well, and there's only sort of a few Western people involved, and they do have Western people who hear about the place who want to come and volunteer for short periods and have that experience, but they have many house parents and Indians who are there looking after the kids, and also that's the language of the children and the culture. So that's very important that they connect with the children and have those people who are really got their heart for the children,
I remember you mentioned, there was a family, quite a well-off or well-to-do family, and that family was taking care of quite a large group of kids, and then you were filming them, right? And then there was something happened, they want to portray how they want to, the home life to be portrayed, and
that wasn't my film. There was actually they did have another film crew film for European television, and yes, now I remember now. Yeah. So they have a few houses where they live in, but housing in India, in Calcutta, is very expensive. I don't know if you've heard, but real estate in India is quite expensive. So they don't own all, at the time, they didn't own all these homes. Now, there was a wealthy family who had a big home, and I think just the grandma lived there. And out the back, there were buildings, and she had allowed the organization to use these buildings to house some of the children. Yes.
Okay, now we'll just take a few minutes break and we'll come back.